right. Well, good morning and welcome to She Speaks for yet another awesome Tuesday. It is the 23rd day in the month of February 2021. And we are honored this morning, giving kudos to our sponsor, our partner, rather, the Bank of St. Lucia. Thank you for being on board. In just a bit, we'll be taking a word from them. But to you, the listeners and the viewers, because we are live via our Facebook feed, we'd like to say a very special thank you. Thank you for coming on board with us this morning and being a part of this one right here. I tell you what. Let's take a word from our partners. Of course, our guest this morning, in case you missed it, is Mrs. Barbara Dubley, and we are honored to have her on board this morning. Like I said to you earlier in my intro, in my signing in, this morning might be just a little bit different because you're used to us roping in St. Lucian women and they get to share their entire story and we hear and we listen to those and we, you know, but I think by now, everybody in St. Lucia, and I mean, I said it myself, I'm an incoming, I'm an adopted daughter. And even I have an idea of this lady and some of the amazing work that she's done, some of the challenges that she has taken on. I fall in that a couple of times already as well, you know, into ensuring that she makes some awesome contribution towards the development of the arts and culture and education right here on the ground in St. Lucia. So it's an honor to have her this morning. I view this morning more of an appreciation moment. You see, this She Speak this morning to me is more of an appreciation and a giving of a flowers before someone dies. That's how I see it this morning. You understand? So this is going to take a slightly different route this morning. So bear with us, but make sure you link up somebody right now and let them know that they need to be there. Good morning, the Bank of St. Lucia. Here they are. You see what I'm telling you? They're partners. That's not sponsors. Sponsors, just give them money and go about their business. The Bank of St. Lucia is there with us right through. Let's take in a word from them, please.
We are the Bank of St. Lucia, for every solution, building our future today. We are the Bank of St. Lucia, for every solution, with you every step of the way. Always there for you, serving you and me, the St. Lucian way. We like family, always there for you, helping you and me, B-O-S-L-U-C-E for me. For every solution,
Bank of St. Lucia, all the bank you need.
And finally, welcome to She Speaks on Radio Caribbean International. My name is Maureen Alexander. I'm your host. We are privileged this morning to have in our company Mrs. Barbara Dubley, and she is very much a staple when you talk in terms of the education fraternity, in terms of the arts and culture here in St. Lucia. Auntie Barbara, good morning. What an honor it is to have you. Good morning.
Good morning, Maureen. Good morning, listeners. And I think I'm more honored to be on your program this morning. Thanks again for having me.
Oh, well, it was only a matter of time and we needed to have you because, let me tell you, this program was designed strategically to make sure that we give flowers before it died to the ordinary people, the people that probably might get looked over, you know, because we only see one set of people, but it does not mean that one set of people is the ones that are trod in the course and are, you know, making, you know, indelible contribution towards the development of this island. So this program was definitely created to ensure that persons like you get your recognition, get to know that we appreciate you before it's long gone and over, and then we come to the funeral with all the fancy flowers. So we are honored. Look, for the benefit of persons who may not know, and I'm still in the back of my mind saying, all right, there can't be anybody that don't know, but there just might be. For the benefit of people who do not know, tell us a little bit about yourself, Auntie.
Okay, well, I'm of course from the primary school. I went to the Ave Maria school following Ave Maria. I attended the St. Joseph's Convent. And
oh, you're a convent girl. Yes. What house were you in? Were you rooting?
Empty reason.
Oh, my. Okay, then. That's yellow. All right. Good. There we go. Wonderful.
On the quiet side. So I was following everything, but on the quiet side.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, as soon as I left the convent, I went straight into teaching. Mm-hmm. I taught at the Ave Maria School for a very short time, 2 years. And probably, of course, I was one of the first set of teachers who started teaching at the then San Susi Government School.
Right.
And of course, later, we became the Carmen Rennie
Memorial. Carmen Rennie Memorial. Okay.
Yeah, so there we taught for a very long time. And well, then, of course, Teachers College. Mm-hmm. And from Teachers College, went to, got a scholarship to attend Edna Manley, where I did theater arts.
But yes. At that time, though, was it something that you fell into gradually, or you always was leaning towards that side, the arts? How did you get to that?
Yes, I thought as a teacher, it was always good to have children actually do and be part of their learning.
Mm-hmm.
So drama was always something that I always practiced at school. When we taught it, for example, on a Monday morning, we knew that it was going to be reading and language.
Right.
And I always thought every children actually acted stories, spoke about the story. By the time we came to understand the story, we would have had a better understanding.
Okay.
So drama was something that was always part of me doing. I was always a leader of, you know, coming up with an idea. And then we had supportive teachers. Mrs. Rennie was there again. Very supportive, always wanted children to be involved in the learning.
Mm-hmm.
So that is where I think I really started, you know, getting interested in drama. Plus, I would say during that time, again, we had people coming from Trinidad to facilitators conducting workshops during the summer.
Mm.
And again, I sort of, you know, got involved in theater during that time. So getting to Edna Manley was something that I was really looking forward to enhance my teaching when I got back to St. Lucia after I left Jamaica.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. So that was a little bit of my academic side. And, of course, I went into Hull University. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I continued in England.
But we are also now seeing a shift in that department in terms of how we teach it. A lot of the things are becoming a lot more practical, and kids now what you were doing back then is what now most of the modern educators are advocating for, that we now use practical a lot more practicals to enhance the academia and the book learning. I think they're beginning to start to pitch for a little bit more of that, but you were doing that since then.
Yeah, I think it was so important at the time, which I don't see a lot of it now, because a lot of it is book, blackboard, and then, of course, exams. I always believe that our children are too centered around exams and not enough of the practical.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you get so much when this, and children can retain a lot more when they are part of their own learning,
mm-hmm.
rather than being told, okay, go, get this done, exercise this done, you know, to get corrected right or wrong, which I think, again, that is not exciting enough.
Right.
So,
but you speak of your school days. You speak of your early, your school days.
Yeah.
From you going to school, what was that the way it was done, though, with you? Did you learn any? It was not that way at all.
Go ahead. It was not that at all. Again, it was a lot of just, you know, learning by rote. You're being. This is what it is, and of course, you don't know why. You just.
If you were to trace back and were you able to recognize that back then and thought that was not a real, you know, good formula, even in those school times when you were being taught that way? Do you think that's where you started to formulate this idea?
I think it had its advantages and disadvantages. Of course, you did not know any better at the time, but then just to learn it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you had to. You had no choice.
You had no choice, yeah.
You had no choice. Because, you know, of course,
you were the
ruler.
Oh,
you know,
man. I remember in my school, I used to be petrified of the times tables, because we used to get so much licks for that. You know, and you had to learn that all.
But then now, when you compare, okay, you ask the child now to learn the timetable, and then you just go ahead, 3 times 7 is 21,
right,
and you go on like this. But then when the children actually, and that is how we really thought the early days are coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
You actually had to manipulate three groups of seven,
right,
and the children would also see 7 times 3 is also 21.
Right.
So they saw, you know, the two going together, you know, the
right
thing, what it is, and that way. So it is so much better learning that formula, learning and retaining.
You retain it a lot easier, and yeah, it makes more sense.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, of course. And you can assimilate after that because you know, okay, if I get another group, this is how I'm going to do it. If I learned it this way, then for me, that's the last one, you know.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So,
that is amazing. Mm-hmm. And then okay, so you went to school. What after leaving school before when you started to study and stuff like that? Were you have any children and how was it like exposing yourself now to going after studying the things that you wanted to come back home and implement? Were you managing a family at this time or what was your life like at this time?
Lucky for me, I had a good husband. I had my children. I have two girls, Lavelle and Shay. She lives in England. And Lavelle is with me, my first daughter. Mm. Yeah. And so he was able to take care of them while I was out most of the time, especially when I moved to the Ministry of Culture. There was a lot of movement, having groups exchange culture, and I had to travel with the groups quite a lot. So he was always there for the two girls.
Right, but during that time, what sort of time frame year wise in terms of when was this happening? Okay, you were around 18 because started teaching very early at 18.
Yeah, but after teaching college in 1975 and going back to school, I stayed at the Common Rent for a little while. Then we went to in 1993, I went to the Edna Manning. Mm-hmm. And in 1999, I went to the University of Hull.
Okay, you're breaking up a bit, Auntie. I'm not sure if am I on speaker or it's breaking up a bit. We're missing.
Sorry about that. Yeah. Can you hear me?
I'm hearing you, but it's still like you know. Sometimes comes up highs and then it just drop off. I want to make sure we're getting the conversation right. I'm not sure if you're moving about or if you stapled one place.
Maybe I'm moving.
Maybe you're moving a bit. All right. So okay.
Now
I'm hearing you.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah. I was saying in 1993, we went to Edna Manning.
Right.
And came back in 1995. Did some teaching for a little while and went to the Ministry of Culture.
Mm-hmm.
Went from there. I went to the University of Hull in 2002. Yeah.
Right. What was it like during that time? Because we've over the years heard that, you know, women back in certain eras and certain times. So I guess I'm trying to make a link here between your era and your time. Was it still at a time where the mindset was still very much heavy on the fact that women, you know, were supposed to man the house and, you know, it was like going off to decide you're going to leave kids to go and study? And was that still something peddled, or was it very open at that time then? Was it in your era? Was it an open thing?
It was an open thing, but again, the creative and performing and creative arts was not number one on
the list. Okay, right. Because it was not considered a career or path.
Yeah, because at the time when I said that's what that scholarship and I was going to Edelman, other people thought, girl, you're mad, you've been teaching to go and study
the arts and drama, okay.
We went back.
Mm-hmm.
But the good thing about it was I did it with education. So I knew when I came back, it was not just going to different schools or be part of any big event, was to use it as a teaching tool.
Mm-hmm.
That was when it came back, I thought it was really to my advantage doing theater arts in education. So there was such a movement in the teaching and the improvement of my own teaching along. I was able to assist other younger teachers using that tool, you know. Mm-hmm. And when I left in completely and I went into the Ministry of Culture, again, it was just an advantage for me. I was able to go to school, work with teachers using that tool to enhance learning in the classroom. So I did that quite a lot, went around the island, from school to school, and assisting as much as I could with the arts
Wonderful. You know what we will do, Auntie? We'll take a break from a word from our partners, and then we'll come back and we'll talk. I want to delve into. I know you don't like the spotlight, but I want to go there with you, and I hope you're gonna allow me to you know draw out some of this into you, because I know you like to. You are a person who did it from the heart, and you don't like too much of the spotlight. But I think, and you know, I would like it to be shared, and I know and I know by now people know it's not about you trying to get that out there, because everybody knows. But every time I try to shed a little light on you, no, it's not me. Don't mention. So, and Auntie Michelle is there saying hi as well this morning. So, hi, Auntie Michelle Monroe. We will take a word from the Bank of St. Lucia, and we'll come right back and delve into some of the works and some of the industry, some of the things that you've championed here as far as the culture and the arts is concerned.
Thank you.
We are the Bank of St. Lucia for every solution, building our future today. We are the Bank of St. Lucia for every solution, with you every step of the way, always there for you, serving you and me, the St. Lucian way, we like family, always there for you, helping you and me, B-O-S-L, no say for me, we are the Bank of St. Lucia, for every solution,
Bank of St. Lucia, all the bank you need.
And if you're just joining us here on Radio Caribbean International, this is She Speaks for yet another beautiful Tuesday. And our guest is Barbara Dubley, Auntie Barbara, like we all know her. Auntie Barbara, let's continue now in terms of after you've done your extensive studies, you've even done some studies in England, right?
You got
right. So, and it was along that same field as well?
I did education management.
Still, Auntie Barbara, I don't know what's going on with you on that phone. You probably would want to move, go to somewhere else, go closer to the, you know.
Okay. Sorry about better?
A little better. No, I just want to make sure that we have a beautiful conversation, that if anybody wants to go back and listen, they could be clear. And we don't want to sully that. We want to have a beautiful conversation that is going to be there for everyone to hear. Right, so when you came back from there, what happened? Did you go back into the teaching, into the schools, into the school setting?
When I came back from England, that's where I started with, I was already at the Ministry of Culture.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, moving from the Ministry of Culture, we just transformed into the CDF, Cultural Development Foundation, and of course, I worked until 2019. I got a brief 4 years, and I went to the Leon Hess again. 4 years from the CDF, went to Leon Hess 4 years again to his art, and I went to the CDF and continued what I had started.
Okay, and at what point in time now you started? Well, that's CDF, right? You went to CDF, you said?
Yes.
The Cultural Development Foundation. Right. So, what was one of your first duty or your role there? What was some of the things that you were championing and challenging within the CDF?
Okay, when I first started at the CDF, I was the Senior Training and Program Officer.
Mm-hmm.
And what the role was to, just again, with working with young people, we did a lot of work with young people, developing training programs and that. Mm-hmm. And my program really took off in the future, because we started out with some programs and school fan training, we name it, we would go around the staff was very few. It was just the two of us in my department, and we were able to cover quite a lot. We are at the rock of school, training young people, whatever it was, teacher time, whatever break we got. And of course, the adults we would do in the evening, music.
Wow, wonderful. And I remember something that you were involved at one point in time. You used to call me, was it PAN?
There was
a PAN, right. So tell me about your involvement in the PAN. And are you still involved in what areas are you still involved in today?
In all that, I'm no longer with CDF. I left in 2019.
Right.
But during the time, I remember this getting with the SSDF, the Poverty Reduction Fund at the time, they now SSDF.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
gotten a grant from them where we have five children put the, different in different communities.
Right.
So that grant went on and been carried, and it was from some programs that we were doing around the area that really encouraged the children, because we noticed a lot of children were moving into wanting to play the pan.
Mm-hmm.
So that is where the Labri Symphony started. We had one in Deport, in Denny, as well as Anne Marie. Fortunately, the one in Deport did not last. But Nico, yes, Nico and Labri, they've done fantastic work with the Symphony, and this is one of the main things that they have in the community.
Right, and it exists to date?
It still exists.
Wow, awesome. That is beautiful.
Thank you very much, so. I admire the person who really kept the group going. We had Ms. Quill Barcel in the library and Mrs. Veronica Justin in meeting. Mm-hmm. And I still go to them. I still look. I still want to know what is happening. They kept the fans going. And this is something that I think that they need to be commended, because mm-hmm. that is all, and so many young people have gravitated was playing with children through the CDF. Mm-hmm.
Auntie, I remember when I got exposed to you. I think it was from one of the initiatives that you and you reached out to me, and you told me you needed me on board because you have this and you want to make it happen. And I remember my first stint. I had no knowledge of what your training was, what your educational background was. That was, I didn't know that. I was being exposed to you for the very first time, and I remember what I remembered is the passion and the drive that you had. That is what stayed with me. It was not anything outside of that. You were so passionate about making sure that you and committed. That is the things that I remembered. And you stayed on top of the game and you stayed on the ball. What drives you? What gives you that passion? Because you could have all the education in the world. You could have studied for as long as God come, but It does not amount for that level of passion that goes into ensuring that, because okay, you could just come and undo, this is what I've learned, this is what I'm teaching, but the passion that you have,
that was
something else.
I always believe, Maureen, if you are doing something, you do it to the best of your ability.
Mm-hmm.
For example, let us say Queen Show,
mm-hmm. Right,
with chairmanship and with Michelle Monroe. I mean, Michelle is that type of person who, when she's working with the team, everybody has to give of their best.
Yes.
And that is what, as a professional, this is what it should be. You're not looking for the gratitude, but you're taking it from the heart and soul. And if you, this is something that you want to be successful at,
yeah,
it has to be, you know, that
right,
you put everything right into it. And this is the kind of teacher I was, and I think that is what Mrs. Rennie taught us when we started teaching, is that if you don't love children, you do not teach.
Right.
You do not come into teaching. And I took it from there, and even working as Ministry of Culture, mm-hmm. when we had persons like Jake Compton, who, that man was an excellent man, he would give you all of the support. And you want to do that at the ending of the day, that what you've done is successful and it has an impact
mm-hmm.
on the people that you are working with, you know?
Right, right.
But
do you think during that these sort of 10 years, because persons may have been exposed to you, and because you have that tendency and you want to make sure it gets right, do you think that sometimes you must have had persons who may have misunderstood it, you know, the passion, maybe you pushed them a little and they didn't, you know, they just thought you were being a miserable, but all that you were looking for was perfection. What would you say to persons that probably, are you aware that you probably may have had persons who would have read your passion for wanting perfection differently?
Yes, of course. I mean, you would come across this people, but at the ending of the day, mm-hmm. It is the character that you bring forward. They would notice that it's not anything malice if you want to big up yourself, as you would say,
mm-hmm.
but it's your own good. I've worked with quite a lot of young people, and then sometimes you can see that they're not into it and you're forcing them. For example, the last project I did at CDF was the Soundwave project, And this is the project that I undertook with really disadvantaged young people, 18 and over.
Mm-hmm.
To get a young man to come to classes during the day from a 9 to 5.
Right.
This is difficult, yeah. You know? But then you need to, have that skill in telling them that this is not for you, but it is for them, and the benefits of what it is at the ending of the day that they're going to, you know, be rewarded with. So mm-hmm. I think the manner in which you approach, mm-hmm. They might be annoyed at one time, for example, you know, people do not like long rehearsals.
Yes.
They come and they always want to go because they have other things to do.
Right, right. You know? Or you might give them a certain stipulation, or this is what we're working with. We are looking for entries now, and they come after the entry, or they come with the entry and they didn't do it the way that you, and then they got out and you said, well, that's what we were looking for, and they thought that, oh, but you're just trying to be, you know, you could have just let me do it, you know, give me another chance, and you know, this sort of mm-hmm. way, and they thought, you know, but what you were teaching at the time is a discipline, and because if they were to go out in the big world, they wouldn't be that. You know, they wouldn't be that. You know, if they will have had to have gotten it and gotten it right.
So they may be angry at the beginning, but again, I never really just bully and try to bully and then say, this is what I want. And mm-hmm. then you get, you know, and you have, you know, attitude and no. I just think this is me. Mm-hmm. I try to be humble and, you know, the older, younger. But you just try to make them understand that this is what it is, you know.
Absolutely.
You have a show, it's for example, a stage show, mm-hmm. if it does not right, then of course.
It's a reflection on everybody involved.
Right. Especially as a stage manager, which I worked throughout, you know, for many, many years, with many shows.
Wonderful. Someone is on my platform saying you accept no mediocrity, and that's what it is. And also, Auntie Michelle is on the line. It's amazing how time really goes by. But the highlights of all of the work that you've put into date, where does the joy in all of it comes for you? Because there must have been challenges, like you said, having to undergo persons who probably don't understand or misunderstand where it is you're coming from, what it is you're trying to do, and they'll be pushing back, or probably some of them don't, up to date, never really understood what it is. And you might die, or they might die thinking that this is just a miserable little lady, you know. You've had to endure all of that. So these are some of the challenges, I would think, that, you know, that your job and your profession and your passion and the journey that you've taken on would have left you. But where does the joy in all of that? How do you feel joy? When do you smile? When do you stop and smile for a moment and say, yes, I wouldn't, if I had to do it all over again, I'll do it the same way?
You know, when it's just that sometimes when you see young people and the empowerment and the mm-hmm. drive and where they are, mm-hmm. it tells you that, wow, at some point you are a link in the chain, you know?
Yes. Oh, gosh. Yes.
You will be COVID. You will not take the total credit, mm-hmm. but you know, at some point you will, you know? That is what I like about this. A lot of young people say people are bad. I always say children are not bad. People mm-hmm. are not bad. As long as young people get opportunities to do the things that they want to do, yeah. to get the love that they're looking for, children are not bad, you know. And when you see them and they say hi, it's just a smile.
Right.
Morning, evening, that is the satisfaction, you
right,
know.
Right.
Want to see that whatever you do, at the ending of the day, it is to better the lives of these people. And that is my goal out in life. Whatever I do is to make sure that young people, especially young people, that is, you know, where I love working with young people. Mm-hmm. And to see people move from A to B, mm-hmm. and that's the joy.
That is a joy in your heart. What next? So how do you hope to be living this? I mean, we don't have control over that, but you know, here you are right now. You're putting all this work. Where are you right now? What are you engaged in right now? Because you're no longer with the CDF. What are you involved in now, presently?
We're in so many different voluntary groups.
I know. You can't keep still. That's just, you know, you just have to be in service. Service is what you were called to do. So you're in a lot of...
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was saying COVID has slowed us a little bit. Mm-hmm. But done with Michelle, Mongo, Sonia Alexander, you know, a few others we've done. I've been Victoria Friends, Victory Victoria Friends, who are among the Independence, Miss Independence Committee. Now, what I've been doing for the past 2 months, notice that because of our pandemic, we had a lot of young children who are at home who were not able to do the work online. So I started working with some of them. I have some children whose parents are at work during the 2 days that they're off school. So on my own, I've started the little classes with these children, even at home right now, and some of them come to my house.
I assist. There you go. And that is just the type of soul that you are. And we are happy to have had you. The world is definitely blessed up to have you. St. Lucia is blessed to have someone of your nature who's always about service. Thank you again for everything. Anything you want to leave with our listeners before we wrap up? Because it's already 4 minutes after 11. The time goes by so fast here. Anything you want to leave with listeners, and especially in this time, it can be a challenging time. I know that you're a very spiritually grounded person as well. So anything you might want to just leave with them to uplift them a little bit, if they might be feeling a little frustrated in these times.
Okay, just one thing. I wish to say thank you to the person who thought it was fitting for me to get that award. I thank you again to the person who have done that. Thank you so much. I think, again, as professionals, I'm just saying to everybody, whatever it is that you do, do it to the best of your ability, you know. I just want to quote one of the directors from a band once said, and I quote, be who you are. You're unlikely to be the first or last, but your journey is your journey. So I think once you're focused and that is what you want, go for it, but do it. Not at the expense of others, but you do it to your best.
Right. If you decide to do it at its best. Auntie, thank you so very much. And I see Auntie Michelle trending with us there. You're next, Auntie. I hope she knows she's next, isn't it? Have an awesome day, and thank you again for your service on behalf of St. Lucia, and keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you again, Maureen, and thank you for Radio Caribbean for having me.
Wonderful. And of course, our partners, the Bank of St. Lucia. Thank you very much, Auntie. Have a great one. So that's where we wrap up She Speaks for yet another blessed day. And come next Tuesday, we do this all over again. We have another amazing St. Lucian woman who we're going to be shedding the light on and hopefully going to be there for it. Thank you to the Bank of St. Lucia for seeing the vision and supporting it full 100. We take a word from them and then we wrap this up. Thank you again to all those of you who trended with us over here on our platform. Yolinda Charles, good morning and thank you for trending. Auntie Michelle, Valence Charles, the Bank of St. Lucia, of course, and everybody else probably who just tuned in, didn't say much. Victor Markey, you were there as well, but you definitely followed and you stayed on board and you supported.